This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
It is our Liverpool women's round. Up, it's Neil Atkinson with Leanne Prescott, Emma Sanders, and with John Gibbons to go through Liverpool women across the last few matches and look ahead to what's next. The first thing to say, Leanne, is it's three wins back-to-back. It's two goals scored in each of them. Two of them were away games. And this is arguably the most Liverpool women have possibly been at their ease, if you know what I mean. Since early in the 18-19 season, about six, seven games into that, the fourth in the WSL in the 18-19 season, playing some all right stuff. Since then, I don't think there might not even have been a three-match winning run, and certainly not one where the games have felt relatively comfortable.
Yeah, I think the team looks a lot more confident, you know, creating lots of chances, new players have bedded in well, the defence looks strong, and all round, I think players are playing with a lot more freedom under Matt Beard. They seem a lot more confident, and it might be a case, you know, we've spoken in the past on these podcasts that maybe Liverpool underestimated the Championship to begin with, but this season they had last year is a learning curve, and they have a manager who understands the league, and they've just gone, right, well, we're better, you know, we're better than a lot of these teams, and let's play like it, and they're showing it now.
The system change is interesting for me, Emma. We were at the game against Crystal Palace the first time he moved to the back three. But straight away, it just felt to me that there was greater clarity. And since then, there's the victory that day, and then there's two more wins on the road. And one of the key things here is that, apart from a few set pieces that get lashed in here and there, it doesn't really feel as though sides are that able to build up any real head of steam in Liverpool's final third, which wasn't necessarily the case, certainly at times last season and earlier this. It's a system change that, at least for now, is very much working for Liverpool.
Yeah, absolutely agree. I think there's been loads of advantages to it. One of the things has been that you've probably been able to get some of the stronger players into the starting lineup. You know, we kind of had a bit of a luxury in the centre-back position where we kind of had three or four players who could quite easily play that position at a high level in the Championship. So being able to get an extra centre-back in the team has been helpful. But then also, like you say, kind of, you know, in possession it's three at the back, out of possession it's five, and that's made it harder for teams to obviously get at Liverpool in that final third. But also, I think we're getting the best out of the midfielders. You're getting the best out of Kerry Holland and Beau Kearns, who are, you know, very energetic, very athletic in that midfield. And they're able to kind of play a bit more of a free role. They're a little bit less restricted. And yes, that might be somewhere that teams might look to exploit in terms of overloading that midfield area. But certainly for now, it's helping them link up with the forward players a lot more.
It feels like a very strong sort of back seven, John. You know, the two fullbacks have both played ever so well. What Emma says there about the centre-halves, it is a position of real strength for Liverpool. And then whatever's happened in the middle of the park, I think especially Kerry Holland, but whatever's happened in the middle of the park, there's been tons and tons of energy, so they're able to support going one way and then support going the other.
Yeah, and it's not easy, you know, playing central midfield in that formation, because, you know, it's very much free attackers who he wanted to get on there, and he hasn't wanted to sacrifice, you know, attacking impetus for that extra defender, which is completely right. You know, we need to win games. And so it puts a lot on those two central midfielders, and, you know, that's been, you know, a variety of different players, but Kerry Holland been the sort of mainstay. Missy Bow obviously doesn't start the last game, but it sort of started before that and done really well. And it's tough. It's tough there for them, but they've put the work in. You know, they've fought hard, and they've created a good platform for the team. And I think it's been interesting because I don't think Matt Beer was necessarily thinking he was going to play three at the back.
Yeah.
You know, this at this point of the season, but he's had a look at what we got. And I think for a while it felt like we were shoehorning someone into that defensive midfield role when we didn't really have one. So it was often centre halves playing there, wasn't it? And you know, Nifar, he gets himself sent off, and you know, it just felt an uncomfortable role, or not quite right for sort of whoever was there. Really, it was either an attacking midfielder who was having to sort of drop back and sacrifice some of that, or a centre half who was maybe, you know, being in positions where they didn't necessarily feel comfortable. And so I think to go from that to say, well, as Emma says, what have we got a lot of here? Well, centre halves, let's pick three of them and go with that, and have that be the platform, and say to your two midfielders, you know, you're gonna have to work hard, but also you've got three really good defenders behind you. But you mentioned the fullbacks, you know, and who are now wing backs, and they've been a revelation. And I think at almost, you know, I've said a lot of things are key to the success of this, and it can't all be. There's a lot of keys to the success. So it doesn't really make sense as a phrase, but I think the wing backs have been a massive, massive plus. They both scored, which is massive. And I think sometimes with wing backs, you know, it can end up a little bit sort of neither here nor there. And you say, well, are they actually attacking much more than what they would have done from fullback and things like that? But I think their starting position is no to be higher. They've both scored goals, so they're both, you know, thinking more in a more sort of attacking sense. And Taylor Hines, I've been impressed with Wardlow, which she's grown, you know, as the season. You know, I thought at first, you know, I wouldn't say I wasn't sure about her, but, you know, because she was a young player, but I thought, you know, I was hoping to sort of see more, and that's what we're sort of seeing now. But Taylor Hines has been a revelation. I like the last season, but this season she's gone up a level again, and she's been absolutely brilliant. And yeah, looks so dangerous from that left wing back position.
I think the idea, Emma, that as John said there, the manager, if I say stumbles upon this, I don't think it's quite fair or accurate, but that this was maybe not part of a grand plan. But then he may not be the sort of manager who feels as though he needs a grand plan. You know, for me, a lot of the values of what you want to see in a football team, regardless of shape, are there from Liverpool. There's areas where they press the ball, there's areas where they look after the ball, there's areas where there's a great deal of aggression, but then there's areas where they're prepared to sort of seed a little bit of ground and then rebuild and go again from there. These are all good qualities in any football team before you get into the ins and outs of the shape, but it may well be that the shape right now at least sort of suits this league, as there aren't that many sides that in this division who'll have the quality to break down this sort of Liverpool defence with this many numbers.
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting one because, you know, you mentioned before that the first time he played this system was against Palace, and I think that was as a result of perhaps the fact that Palace were always going to be a threat on the transition, and they have, you know, dangerous wide players. So I think he looked at that game and thought, you know, off the ball, let's put five players behind the ball, and, you know, Palace aren't really going to have much possession in midfield, therefore we can dominate that area with the two players and not feel like we're disadvantaged. And obviously it worked for that game, and he's tried it again, and it's worked again. And I think a large reason because of that is the fact that when you are in the Championship and you're a side like Liverpool who've got players who are technically extremely gifted, you know, I think that they're going to spend a lot of time in possession, a lot of time on the ball, and by playing with that back three and by playing within the system, it gives Liverpool the best opportunities to make the most of their strengths. And I think last season, yeah, of course, you know, Leigh Ann mentioned it before, there was an element of perhaps underestimating the Championship, but then I also think there was an element of kind of a bit of a roll on of that lack of confidence from the WSL season before, where
getting
Liverpool
bogged down a bit as well.
Yeah, they weren't used to winning games, they weren't used to being in possession, they weren't used to sort of controlling games, and then suddenly they come into the Championship and they are the favourites, they're the team that are in possession, and they didn't really know what to do with it. And I think we started to see that confidence towards the end of the season, where they started to get on the ball a bit more and be a bit more creative. And I think Matt Beard's come in and gone, look, we are the team to beat in the Championship, so, you know, we need to set up as if we're going to be that team, and we need to set up as if we are going to be controlling possession and working to our strengths, as opposed to, you know, always kind of numbing the strengths of the opposition.
The Sheffield United game's a good example of a lot of what's working quite well, Leigh Ann. You know, in this situation where it should be three at half time, there's a great save from the Sheffield United goalkeeper just before the break. I mean, a brilliant bit of goalkeeping. But Liverpool's have the game on the string, they get the early goal, and then from there they just play at the pace and in a way that suits them. It goes a little scrappy in that first 45, but it doesn't matter, you know. And to me, that was a confidence that has just not been there. And then even in the second half, you know, it should be three on the counter on a couple of occasions. It's a side that, as I say, it seemed comfortable, it seemed confident, it seemed very certain of what it was doing throughout the match.
Yeah, I think you could effectively split it into two halves, because the first half, Liverpool are very good, very aggressive going forward. They create a lot of chances. But equally, the second half is impressive, because a lot of last season, Liverpool would take the lead and then look really unassured. They would give possession away. The chances for the opposition would come. And this was like a professional display and saying, you know, we're just better than you and we're going to show it. And Sheffield United are one of the better teams in the league, and Liverpool just didn't give them an inch. I think you mentioned set pieces. Sheffield United threatened a few times, but in the main, Liverpool looked pretty comfortable. And I think that goes to show how far this team has come. It goes to show what the manager has done to the belief within the squad. And obviously, the three of you have spoken about whether he means or wants to go to that 3-4-3 formation. But I think it says a lot about him that he's able to adapt, that he recognises the quality of the players he has and goes, you know, these players can fit in there. Because Liverpool's bright sparks for a lot of last season were down to one or two individuals, Rachel Furness mainly. But this season, as Sheffield United shows, it's more about the collective. There's three players that come into the side, all perform brilliantly. And, you know, Liverpool have a pretty big, grueling fixture list coming up. And it's going to be about the squad, not about the starting 11 always. So I think there's lots of positives to take from the result, the performance, the movement in attack, the way the team defends as a whole, but also going forward for the season as to what this squad as a whole can do.
John, we were at the game against Crystal Palace, as I said before. That's the last home. And they ultimately, it's the first time you see the shape, and Leanne Kiernan plays pretty well without ever feeling like she was going to get a goal. Since then, it's been three in the last two. And part of what happens at Bramall Lane is something that happens in all football matches. She scores both goals against Coventry in the 2-0 win. She scores the goal that turns 1-0 into two just before the break against Sheffield United. And goals just change games, and they make football matches easier. If you've got a couple in the bank, you're flying.
And they make footballers more confident. And that second goal she scored, I don't think she'd have taken that quite as nonchalantly if she hadn't already scored the first one. That's a finish of a striker, you know, who's just buried one. Basically, the way you know, she just went round the keeper and just sort of flicked it in like it was a training game was unbelievable. And she does, you know, seem much more confident now. And like you, I was watching her thinking, you know, she's obviously a good player, but she reminded me a little bit of watching Jess Clark, where you're like, you know, she's busy and she's, you know, you can see she's a skillful player and she's a bit of a pain for the defence, but is she going to get you that goal return that she wants? And obviously she comes with a reputation of scoring, so you were sort of hopeful, but it seems like almost the teammates as well. Well, Rachel Furness has definitely figured out what she wants, isn't it? You know, it's that delivery, and she just sort of, you know, she's gobbled two of them up now. But as I say, the second, you know, in that game was just fantastic, and was just the strike of a striker in confidence is sort of great to see. And so, you know, and it's great because it feels like there's more goal scoring options now. It was a real shame for Dean that she got injured just to see if she was going, you know, but she doesn't feel a million miles away to me. You know, maybe sort of Emma and Leanne know a little bit more of that to me, but I think she's you know, I don't think it's a long term injury, as I think she's back sort of fairly soon, so we'll have options there. You know, do you want to move Kiernan wide again now after she's been in the goals of the central area? Maybe not. Maybe looks at that formation again, goes more sort of 3-5-2. You know, he's tweaked it once, he could sort of go again. It gives us more goal scoring options, which is brilliant, but she's been a match winner for us, Leanne, last couple of weeks, and that's been exactly what we've needed.
In a minute or two, we've got Leanne talking to Harriet Pryor, which is pretty exciting stuff. Before then, I just want to mention briefly on Leanne Robe, Emma, we've talked about Taylor Hines before, and we've talked about the three. To me, it seems to suit Leanne Robe the most. It's intriguing because I haven't watched her for the last sort of 18 months or so. She's the one who last season got pushed around in terms of position, but that to me therefore suggests that there's a footballer who can play in a number of different positions as much as anything else. And in the end, and that's one of the reasons why she looks so good in the three, is that she's happy to step into wide areas, she's happy to step ahead into midfield, she loves a little 20-yard pass going forward. She started the season excellently.
I agree, yeah. I think any player who has the ability to play anywhere in the back four can slot in perfectly in a back three, because, like you say, that awareness of kind of her positioning out in wide areas as well as centrally is obviously a massive advantage. But I think there's always been a bit of a case with Leanne where she's kind of, every time she's come in, she's done well and almost kind of well enough that it seems quite harsh that she then, you know, has to be left out again the next week. But she's kind of just been pipped by, you know, certain factors like experience, for example. Nifar, he was obviously the captain of the side, so you could see why the likes of Vicky Jepson and Amber Whiteley wanted her in the side ahead of Leanne Robe. And then, you know, obviously this season you got Jasmine Matthews coming in, who's got that leadership. So you sort of looked at it again and thought, oh, you know, Leanne Robe again might be the one to miss out at centre back. And then obviously, as you know, John mentioned before, Taylor Hines's form has kept her out of the left back role. So she's certainly benefited from the system change. And I think it benefits Liverpool having her in the side as well, because she has that ability to play out from the back. I think she, in terms of the centre back, she's probably the best on the ball defender. She's always had a really, really good eye for a pass. So I think you see her strengths as an individual as well. And obviously, she can give something back to the team. So it's good to have those options. And I know certainly from speaking to Matt after that Palace game in particular, when he first tried it, he said that was something which was really pleasing for him, just to be able to have those options and have that ability to rotate.
In terms of rotating, Leanne, one thing that it's important that we bear in mind, you mentioned before about the fixture list coming up, but the other thing about playing this shape with the onus it puts on the two centre midfielders is the manager gets 5 subs. So we've already seen, for instance, I think in each of the games where it's been Cairns and Holland, but against Coventry, it's Cairns and Holland, but Humphrey and Furness come on for half an hour in Rachel Furness's case. She then starts the next one in place of Cairns alongside Holland. Humphrey is used in and out and used a little bit further forward as well. My wider point is that I think there's to keep that those legs present in the middle of the park, so Furness doesn't get the whole game against Sheffield United either. I think there is this desire, isn't there? But the manager knows he can do it, where at any given point he can decide, well, those two can come off. They've run themselves into the ground for 65. Two can replace them, and Liverpool's squad quality should give them the ability to do that. And as you say, with the games coming up, that's an even bigger deal.
Yeah, I think he's definitely looked at it in terms of it's more about the collective than specific individuals. Obviously, you need one or two good moments from good players, and Liverpool have that in abundance. And we're seeing that more, as John said, more goal-scoring threats, more individual quality. But it becomes more about the sum of the parts than the parts themselves. And I think that's what we're seeing with the rotation. Beard's got a lot of good options in midfield. He knows it, and he's trying to rotate and keep everyone fresh. And you know, Durham's coming up, and that's the big one. But it's almost like Liverpool need to focus just as much on the big fixtures as the small ones, because that's kind of what undid them last season. So yes, Durham's important, but you're looking at the three or four after that, and you're going, well, where's the legs coming from? Where's the momentum coming from? And to be able to rotate these players who are all good quality, keep them fresh, keep them understanding the tactics and the discipline of the system, and if he goes and changes it again, is just as important as Rachel Furness playing every single game, because, yes, yeah, she's brilliant, but, you know, that's not going to do any of the other players any good.
Okay, Harriet Pryor has chatted away to Leanne Kiernan, and here is that interview, and then we'll be back to look ahead to what comes next.
And I am now joined by Leanne Kiernan. First of all, Leanne, thanks so much for joining us today. It's great to have you with us. So it's three wins back-to-back now for you guys at Liverpool. The mood and the atmosphere must be really good at the moment. How is the atmosphere in the team?
No, it's been brilliant. Everybody's been really positive. It's just been nice to be getting 3 points, you know, and we can't complain. Everything's going well so far.
Do you think after sort of the start of the season, and you had sort of differing results, a draw and then a loss and then a win, and now you seem to be finding your form, is that the acceptance within the team that you seem to be on a good path now?
Of course, yeah. And obviously the results at the start, we knew we were going to have to work with Beardy and trust in him. And he did tell us it'll be the end of September by the time we'll get everything right. And it's been going well so far. And yeah, the girls are in great spirits, and it's just been a really nice atmosphere, really.
Yeah, and obviously you mentioned there Matt Beard coming into the team. And do you think it's taken a little bit of time for him to settle and get to know the squad, and for you all to get to know each other ultimately? Because that's a really important part of gelling and doing well in football.
Exactly, yeah. And of course, just being new faces in the team. Obviously with COVID during pre-season, it was hard because a few of the girls missed weeks and that. But But now, yeah, it seems to be all coming together and it's working so far.
Is there a sense that you really all know your roles now and all know that what your job is and what you've got to do when you go out on the pitch and what you've got to do to get that win?
Of course, yeah. And as I said, like, it's been going well on the training pitch too. Everybody knows their role, and players that don't play and players that play, like, everybody's involved and everybody has a task, which is really nice to see.
Yeah, definitely. And you joined Liverpool just this summer after, I think you had 3 seasons, was it, with West Ham? So how are you feeling now just in the city and playing for the team? Do you feel settled? Are you enjoying playing there?
Yeah, it's been brilliant. It's really nice to be getting game time and not being injured. And, you know, I'm just really enjoying myself, and life's pretty good outside of football too. So, yeah, it's going well so far, and touch wood, it stays like that.
Yeah, you enjoying living in the city?
Yeah, it's brilliant. And the people are great up here. It's nearly like a home away from home. I'm really enjoying it.
Oh, good. And you've scored 3 goals now in 2 games. And how does it feel just getting off the mark and also just contributing to the team performance and getting on the score sheet?
Of course, yeah, it's great. It's great, as you say, for a striker to be scoring goals, and it does give me a lot of confidence. But more importantly, the team has been doing brilliant, and without them, I wouldn't be scoring the goals. Rachel Furness, for example, putting on a plate for me week in, week out. So, but no, definitely, it's been a real confidence boost for me. And, you know, football is a big confidence kind of game. And once you're happy and you're confident in yourself, it all works out.
Yeah, and you spoke about Rachel there, and you two have linked up together in the last few games. Is that something that's come straight off the training pitch, or is that something that's just, you know, you instinct in the games and you're picking up when you're working well with each other?
No, of course, we practice these movements and training week in, week out, and whether it's Rachel, whether it's, you know, any of the players on the pitch at the time, and whoever even is in the striker position, we've worked on these movements, so it's nice to see it coming off in the games.
Has there been a bit of a formation change in since the beginning of the season? And is that more tactical to get more sort of goals and to get yourself on the score sheet a bit more?
I think, obviously, with the personnel and the team, Beardy seems to like that formation, and the teams we play every week's different because you're coming up against different types of formations and different teams and different types of personnel. So
yeah.
He's been changing it in and out. But it's quite nice that we have the variety to change, you know what I mean, when it comes to situations that maybe this one's not working, we can always go to a different one. And it's great. I feel like a lot of the girls are very open-minded to it all and are willing to really learn the roles and are enjoying it.
Yeah, great. And you've got Aston Villa next in the Continental Cup. Obviously, you're playing a WSL team. It'll be a big challenge for you guys. But how are you feeling about coming up against the WSL team and taking them on?
Obviously, a WSL team, it's going to be a big game. But listen, we've worked hard on the pitch and we know what we're about. So I'm really looking forward to that game. And of course, it's lovely playing in Prenton Park with all the fans behind us. Big shout out to them fans, by the way. They've been brilliant so far this season and really being our 12th man. So yeah, really looking forward to it. And let's hope that we give them a good game.
I think it's a good one for fans to come down to. Maybe they haven't been to their women's game before at Prenton Park. Would you say it's a good first one for them to go to?
Exactly, definitely. A midweek game, it's always nice under the lights, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And there was 4,000 there at the weekend when you played Sheffield. And do you get the sense when you go to occasions like that and you've got so many people there watching that the women's game as you're part of it is just growing in popularity and more appetite for it?
Yeah, it's been brilliant, and it's great to see all the fans being out and even playing in the men's stadium and the fans coming to watch all the games. Like, I really think women's football is really getting out there on the map, and fair dues to everybody that's involved and everybody that wants to come watch that. We really appreciate it, and it's been really nice to see.
Yeah, and do you feel that within Liverpool that you're really supported and the women's team is just going from strength to strength?
Exactly, yeah, and a lot of people have a lot of belief behind us, so hopefully we can do it all right this season and put it right on the pitch, which we've been doing. So,
yeah, you've definitely been doing that. Obviously, I think you're sitting second in the table at the moment, aren't you? Maybe you don't pay too much attention to it, but you've got some tough games coming up throughout the next couple of months. And I think probably the one that's earmarked, the biggest one throughout that, is Durham in November. And they're currently top of the table. Do you sense that the next few months are going to be really pivotal in how you end the season? And it's really a chance to make your mark.
Of course, yeah, for sure. I kind of view it a bit different. Like, I couldn't tell you who's coming up in 2 weeks' time. I'll just focus in on the game that's coming up every Sunday, usually. Yeah. I don't even look at my schedule. I don't know. It's just the thing that I like to focus on myself and on the team and how we can better ourselves to come up against these teams. And I feel like focusing on others kind of takes the focus off ourselves, where if we just focus on ourselves and the training pitch and try to do better every day, that we can be the best then on a Sunday when it comes to the games.
Yeah, and you're just looking ahead to what you've got in the week to come, and obviously it's a big week this week, so yeah, we all wish you best of luck and we can't wait to come down and support you. So yeah, we're really looking forward to it.
Great, I look forward to it, eh?
Yeah, thank you so much for chatting to us today. It's been great to have you on.
No problem, thanks for having me. Thank you.
Excellent stuff from Harriet. Aston Villa game on Wednesday night, John. It's significant, I think it's fair to say. It's a chance to test themselves, and I think it's also a chance to also almost see what happens with reference to people coming down at 7 p.m. at Prenton Park on a Wednesday night. A little bit different to the game so far, and what we haven't said actually is it's been great to see the attendances increasing game on game. It's felt like a good thing. It's felt like a hugely positive thing. This Villa game, it might lead to a slightly different crowd, but we'll also find out, even if he does make a few changes, because we believe in the squad, we'll find out sort of where Liverpool feel as though they are and what they're up to.
Yeah, it is an interesting one, isn't it? I spoke to Matt Beard after the Palace game and asked him about the Conti Cup generally, and he said, well, we're going to need to rotate for reasons that Leanne says about the games come thick and fast. But I wonder, just for this one, whether he might look to go, you know, as strong as possible.
Because they don't play again, do they, for 2.5 weeks after this?
Yeah, there's the break. But also, I think, you know, he'll be keen to see, well, you know, what are these players like against WSL1? We all want to go up next year. What does that mean for this squad? What does that mean for, you know, who we're looking to retain and who we're looking to, you know, maybe, you know, maybe that might be the end of the journey for them. And look, he's not going to make that decision based on one Conti Cup game. But also, it does give you a little bit more information on, well, who you know, because some players play better against better opposition, don't they? Some players sort of step up in these cases. And for others, you know, they might sort of struggle a little bit and might sort of, you know, find it tough. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see. I hope he does go stronger, not least because I'm going down. So I'm hoping to see a really good game Wednesday night. And listen, if people do want to come, there'll be a code going out on our emails tomorrow that people can get sort of free tickets for. So look out for that if you do fancy it on Wednesday at Prenton Park. And yeah, it's a step up in opposition, so it should be sort of an entertaining game. But I think he'll take this one seriously. I think he'll go strong, you know, with the team, and then maybe look to rotate a little bit later when, as Leanne says, those games do come thick and fast.
So this one, Emma, with reference to Villa and a chance to test themselves, I think the other thing as part of this is it's fair to say is players will want to play in it. They'll all want to sort of see where they are and where they're up to, you know, and you know, I think he can make one or two changes, but making a raft, I think those players themselves will want to be seeing where they're up to. Villa have only scored 4 in the 5 WSL games so far this season, but they sit in 7th and they have won 2. They beat Leicester, who went up last season 2-1 earlier in the season, and that's maybe a bit of a marker for where this Villa side is likely to be up against Liverpool on Wednesday night.
Yeah, I mean, it is a really good Villa team. They're managed by a really good manager. They'll turn up. They'll be hard to beat for sure. But they are going to be making massive changes. You know, I'll be speaking to their manager tomorrow. So you know, hopefully, I can find out who their starting 11 is. But no, like they will absolutely be making wholesale changes, which will obviously work in Liverpool's favour. They will still be strong. You know, they've got a good squad, and they've got a bit of depth there. But it's certainly a team that Liverpool can get at. So I think that's exciting for Matt Beard. But then I also think, you know, while I agree, I think Liverpool will go strong, and I think they should go strong because of that gap before the games. I think it is equally as important for Matt to see those sort of fringe players. Obviously, Riley Foster will 100% come in, yep, in goal for Rachel Laws. We know that. Matt has said that before. He's confirmed that. I think the likes of, you know, Fernie will probably start. Rachel Furness will start. She, you know, she's come off the bench quite a lot more recently, and I think, you know, we'll see a couple of other players who are first team players, but aren't necessarily starting week in, week out. I think we'll see them. But yeah, it's definitely a chance. And I think the main thing is, you know, as Leanne was mentioning before, about sort of understanding the systems and understanding the kind of the discipline and the identity. You know, you've got the likes of Carla Humphrey, who impressed in the WSL at Bristol. And she worked on a match. She's very, very good technically. You know, I think she's probably the best passer of the ball that Liverpool have got in the side, bar maybe Rachel Furness and perhaps Beau Kearns. But she, I think she struggled physically in the Championship. So I think this will be the perfect game for her to come in. I think Matt will be using her as a kind of the pivot piece in midfield.
There's a couple, isn't there, Leanne, who, whilst Liverpool would want to go strong, who could do with a little bit of time. I think you can also say that the same as Jade Bailey. Carla Humphrey, as mentioned there as well, could do with getting on the pitch for a little period of time. There's a couple of others. Obviously, the Hodgson injury towards the end of the game against Sheffield United also slightly limits his options. You know, Hodgson hadn't played that game against Sheffield United, presumably with an eye on her featuring against Aston Villa. She goes off injured. So, you know, it might be that Yana Daniels finds her way through to another 90 minutes with Mel Lawley in there as well. He's got a couple of moves, hasn't he? But I am expecting to see Liverpool go relatively strong, but this is part of what we're talking about them having that depth where there's maybe a bit of interchangeability without losing too much.
Yeah, it looked a quite bad injury, so I don't expect that will be a short recovery. But I think it's a tough one because, you know, you want Liverpool to progress. As Emma said, it's a great chance for the fringe players to kind of make a claim before a very big run of games in the league where Matt Bibb will need all his players. But equally, Liverpool will want to test themselves against Aston Villa. He'll want to know what his best side looks like against WSL opposition. And okay, it's not maybe the same as when we played United in the Cup last season, but that was one of the standout games of the season. Liverpool kind of put down a marker and said, we can on our day play against these type of teams. And I'd like to see them go and do that again against Villa. Obviously, Villa aren't quite as good as Man United, but they're still a very good team. And it's an opportunity that we should be relishing, not one that we should say, throw all the fringe players on and see what's what. I would start Daniels. I think, you know, she's looked good, and get her some more minutes because she's going to be useful in the games to come as well.
Just on, come back to you on it, Leanne, you know, it's the only, Aston Villa are the only WSL team in Liverpool's group in the Continental Cup. They've got Sheffield United, Blackburn and Sunderland elsewhere. Now, we've just seen them ease away from Sheffield United at Bramall Lane, relatively straightforwardly. They go back to play Sheffield United, presumably not at Bramall Lane, on the 3rd of November. And as I said before, Blackburn, they'll face, Sunderland they'll face, and they'll face them in the league before they face them in the Continental Cup. My point is that if Liverpool can get a positive result out of the game against Villa, progression doesn't seem in any way, shape or form beyond Liverpool. Even though those other games, they'll be making changes, but presumably Sheffield United, Blackburn and Sunderland will all feel the same way themselves.
Yeah, I think it's one where you're looking at the implications from a league perspective as well and the fixture list in the future, because if Liverpool can get the business done early in the Cup, then that might allow them to rotate going forwards and that might give them an edge in the Championship. You know, just because they beat Sheffield United this weekend doesn't mean they're going to go and do it again. It doesn't mean that the next game's going to be as easy. So
they were well better than them. Come on, Leanne.
They were. But, you know, I'm not underestimating the Championship. I did it a little bit last season, so I'm trying to talk myself down a bit. But, no, I think it's a good opportunity for Liverpool to progress 100%. And hopefully they can put on a bit of a show against Villa and show that they're in a good position for next season.
Yeah, and I think it is a really good opportunity actually for Liverpool to go quite far in a competition, which they've not had for a very, very long time in terms of the Cups. You know, you look at the last few years in the Conte Cup and they've had Everton, Man City and Man United in their group. So this is by far, you know, I'm going the opposite to Leanne here, but this is by far the best Conte Cup group that Liverpool have been in for quite some time. So it is a real opportunity for Matt Beard to get them into the latter stages of a domestic cup and build on that momentum. Yeah, of course, the league remains a priority, but certainly, you know, with the players that we've just named that can come into this Liverpool side, the likes of Rachel Furness, Riley Foster, Yana Daniels, Raza Roberts as well. These are players who, you know, are very, very experienced with first team football, with, you know, WSL and Championship experience. So they're more than capable of helping Liverpool progress from this Conte Cup group.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see them do well, wouldn't it? I think, you know, if, you know, you want people, you know, to start talking about Liverpool again and people sort of, you know, well, have been, but for the wrong reasons over the last couple of years. So, you know, we're all hopeful of sort of Liverpool coming back up. But if you know, Liverpool, you know, being top of our league, maybe, and then people say, you know, and then if he's the latter stages of this, people start saying, oh, you know, we've seen what's going on at Liverpool, and just creating that little buzz around it, you know, just creating that idea of, you know, the Liverpool sort of do mean business now, you know, at the women's level, you know, can maybe, you know, help in terms of, you know, the feel good factor, you know, if you transfers in, who knows, you know what I mean? It just all kind of fuels that idea that we sort of mean business this season. So, you know, although it sort of, you know, we've all said we expect some rotation, I think once we're on the pitch, you know, we'll be about taking it seriously. And some of those players there that Emma mentioned, you know, will be wanting to sort of show why they should be getting picked more as well. So you're sometimes better, you know, picking sort of hungrier players anyway than ones who might themselves have their eye on the weekend. Not that there's a game this weekend.
The metaphorical weekend is Halloween. Sunday the 31st of October is the next league game, John. It is. In the realm of women's football, from what we've seen, it's as thick and fast as it gets. They play Sunday the 31st, Wednesday the 3rd, Sunday the 7th, Sunday the 14th, Wednesday the 17th, and then Saturday the 20th.
It's going to cost me a fortune in the clip of that.
Oh, yeah.
Get the app working. all moving all the way through. They are, you know, three homes. Lewes at home, Blackburn at home, and Blackburn at home again in the Continental Cup. Sheffield United away in the Continental Cup, Durham away being the big one, as was said before, and then within there as well, Sunderland away. But they will need the full squad for that, won't they? I mean, this is serious business. They are six big games, four of them in the league, and Liverpool currently sitting second. They will want to be sitting no worse than second at the end of that, having at the very least taken a point out of Durham.
Yeah, I completely agree, and I think, you know, that's why in successful seasons for any football team, different players come to the party at different times. And I think, you know, you've seen that, you know, whenever, you know, squads have done sort of great things, it's very rarely, these were the, you know, the brilliant players for the whole season, really. Different players have different purple patches, and it's up to the managers to sort of spot them and almost plan for them, really. We mentioned there before from the forwards, you know, it was Dean who was looking like the goal scorer. She drops out, suddenly Leanne Cairns scoring them for four, and absolutely brilliant. So you need sort of more of that throughout the squad. You know, Rachel Furness is another one who can sort of come in and hit four and three. You know, we haven't seen huge amounts of it this season, but I think, you know, we certainly know what she can show. Carla Humphrey was mentioned before. We haven't seen huge amounts for, but the pedigree is there. You know, we know there's a footballer there. We just haven't necessarily seen it. So can she come in and have a month where she's really, really contributing? You know, all these players, you know, as I say, it doesn't have to be, you know, just the idea of, well, these are the three and four who are going to get us through the season. As Leanne said before, we tried that last season and it didn't work. Do you know what I mean? It was on too few. The weight of expectation and responsibility was on sort of too few last season, and they couldn't do it. This time it needs to be more. And to be fair, so far that is sort of proving the case, really. So if we can add one or two more, and by add, I don't mean buy, I just mean emerge sort of from the squad, really, of people who can sort of, you know, as I say, win games for Liverpool and throw in big performances, then it puts us in really good stead. I'd much rather have a Liverpool squad than any of the others from what I've seen. I understand, you know, the idea of respecting, you know, the other teams around there, and I think we should, and listen, Durham at the top at the moment on merit, but I'd rather have Liverpool squad certainly going in to this busier part.
Durham are fascinating, Emma. Right now, if you look at the women's WSL, the clubs are linked to an established club. It's fair to say, all the way through there. Durham are very much an exception. There's a couple of other exceptions in the Women's Championship, in the WSL 2, whatever, however it's framed. But to me, Durham of last couple of seasons have been able to be in the upper reaches year in, year out without quite doing it. Given what's gone on, the investments around the WSL, maybe I'm wrong, maybe you'll correct me, but I feel it's a little bit do or die for Durham this campaign, where this is their opportunity to be able to jump into the WSL and then go from there, because what they don't have, what they're not fortunate enough to have, is what Liverpool have and what I was to say Manchester United, Manchester City, Chelsea, etc., Arsenal all have, is budget coming from another place.
Yeah, it is a really interesting question, and I do agree. I do think this is the time for Durham. I think, you know, you look at last season, Leicester went turned professional in the summer and then, you know, managed to go up that year. And I think Durham would have been looking at that and thinking that was a bit of a missed opportunity on their part, because probably going into that season, they would have looked at it and gone, look, we've been consistent across the Championship. They have a know-how of how to win games. And I think they're very good at the dark arts type of stuff, but they can also play some nice football. So I think they've been a real challenge for opposition teams. And then Leicester sort of, you know, just went on that winning run. I think it was 12, 13 games in the end that they won to win the championship title. So, you know, there's not really too much you can do about that if you're Durham. But I certainly feel they would have looked at last season and been like, that was probably our best chance for a while, you know, with the Liverpool team coming down that obviously weren't full of confidence. So now you've got the likes of Charlton who have invested heavily, Coventry have invested, Lewis are investing more and more each year. And then obviously Liverpool are looking like they're trying to, you know, put some investment in their women's team as well. So it's going to be really difficult for Durham. Each season they spend in the Championship, I think the difficulty level goes up a notch. And not only that, but the distance, I've said this before in terms of the importance on Liverpool actually going up this season, but I think the distance between the Championship and the WSL is also growing. So it's not just a case of getting there now, it's a case of, it's going to be even harder to stay in the WSL. So, I think this really is kind of the last big push that Durham need because, yeah, if they miss out this season, then I fear that their best chance will have gone.
With that in mind then, Leanne, it is an enormous game in the middle of that little run, just to sort of round us off here. It is all about that one. Yes, the other ones will matter, but we're beginning to get a sense of who's where. Emma mentions Charlton there as well. Durham currently sit top, Liverpool second, London City third, Charlton fourth. But if Charlton win their game in hand, they would find themselves joint on the number of points that Durham are currently on, so they leapfrog both Liverpool and London City. This is the game that is coming up there then in this little run up against Durham is one which Liverpool do need to find their way through without losing ground on Durham.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've seen so far this season, as we saw last year, that it's a ridiculously competitive league. Emma's talking about how important it is for Durham to get up and Liverpool to get up, but Charlton are there, London City are there, even Sheffield United aren't quite out of it yet. It's still early days. So you're talking about five teams, that's almost half the league vying for the one spot. So that goes to show, you know, how much is on the line. And that's kind of why, you know, you're looking at the Aston Villa fixture and we're saying, yes, rotate, but actually that's really the opportunity for Liverpool to go get the 3 points there and then allow yourselves to rotate against Sheffield in the cup, against Blackburn in the cup, and then be able to take Durham as its own rather than to see it as part of that pack of six, because that is Liverpool's opportunity to lay down a marker. Obviously, it's away from home. It's going to be difficult, but even a point there says Liverpool are going to be in and amongst it. And I think it's just really important, as we've seen, to carry on the momentum within this league, because if you fail or fall off early, then you're really struggling to make the ground up. Well,
just on that, John, just to add, just to wrap summers up, by the time we get to that game against Durham, it'll actually be Liverpool's ninth league game of the season. They only play 22. You know, if they can't afford, I would say, to be coming out of that any more than the gap being any more than it is right now. So in the run-up to those games, getting the points on the board, going to Durham, and if they get the other side of Durham away and it's still only a 2-point gap between Durham and Liverpool, then you are probably able to say, all right, that's absolutely fine. We make sure we beat them when we get back to our place, and in the meantime, we go back to getting the points back on the board. But my point here is that, you know, if it's only a 22-game league, you don't want to be giving yourselves 5-6 points to make up after game 9.
No, I think that's fair, and you know, they'll be conscious of that. It sort of happened a little bit last season, you know, and so they'll be conscious of that. Look, the manager will be aware of that as well, I think. But I think Liverpool, I think, would suit being front runners. I think some teams prefer to chase, and some teams suit chasing, whereas I think this Liverpool side, I think if it can get ahead, I think could really sort of streak ahead, really, and could really get in everyone else's heads as well, because Liverpool is the big name in this league, and look, that was an issue almost last season. We were a scalp, weren't we? But there's two ways of that. There's the, you know, there's the being the scalp, and there's, but also, you know, you can, you know, beat the team who's, you know, intimidating the others, really, or intimidating is not necessarily the right word, but being the team who suddenly everyone goes, oh, well, Liverpool, you know, the top now. So I think if they can beat Durham and go top,
almost what they've done on the pitch against Coventry and Sheffield United last couple of games, John, the way they've eased through the game, even getting the later goals against Coventry, they eased, they were clearly better and just demonstrated it.
Yeah, 100%. So I think if they can beat, lose, you know, and then beat Blackburn, they should win both of those home games, really. I'm not saying they're going to be easy, but they should win both of those and then go to Durham and win. I think that's a real statements, and I think if there might be a few clubs looking around going, oh, maybe that's Liverpool now, and that's what you can do as a big name as well.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting point, actually, you know, that sort of mentality of, look, this is Liverpool sort of streaking away now, because that is something that Liverpool, in terms of when they came down from the Championship, you know, there was a bit of a fear factor, because I remember the first game that they played, which I think was against Durham last season, wasn't it? You know, there was very much this, Durham came with the mentality of, we need to stop Liverpool, not let's go and impose ourselves, as let's stop Liverpool. And that was by any means, that was dark arts, it was by frustrating them, it was booting the ball out, time wasting, it was everything possible, and Liverpool didn't match it. Whereas now, you know, I feel like that mentality is still there. There is still a bit of a fear factor of Liverpool. But instead of, you know, Liverpool seeing that as a pressure, they're seeing that as something that they're embracing and going, okay, well, if they're going to come to us and know that we're the biggest side, then let's impose ourselves on them. So, yeah, I think I absolutely agree. I think if Liverpool get to that point at the top of the table, then personally, I think they'll go on from there.
Excellent. Well, if you can get down to Prenton Park, there'll be the code in the email that goes out tomorrow or Wednesday, probably being both of them, to be honest with you, then to get in for free through the Anfield app. Please do that. Please get down if you can. Support Liverpool Women against Aston Villa Women if you've got the opportunity to do so over at Prenton Park. It is a 7 p.m. kickoff, which means, you know, you'll be leaving the place at 10 to 9, unless you're like John and you're going the Clipper. All things are possible. And Emma, excellent. Clipper excitement there from Emma. It's a pub that's well worth it. That is 7 p.m. Prenton Park against Aston Villa Women. If you cannot make the game, if you can't get over for it, it is on LFC TV, so you can check it out there as well, as is the game against Lewes, but that's some time off. We'll have another chat to you about that before then. So Aston Villa Women, 7 p.m. on Wednesday night. Liverpool, in the meantime, sitting just 2 points off the pace. It's a Liverpool team to all of a sudden find oneself excited about, so thank you very much indeed to Emma, to Leanne, to other Leanne, to Harriet, and to John. We have been busy enough through this little round up of Liverpool Women for you. Take it easy.
Sports Social Podcast Network.